The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. The need for independent media is more critical than ever as people search for the truth. For the past 20 years, the Power Hour has focused on subjects which inform and educate about the real challenges we face as a nation. Join us as we discuss the Constitution, current events, and natural health solutions with the best experts on radio. Learn from some of the most insightful commentators you'll find in talk radio. Now, here's your host of the Power Hour, Dave Krieger.
Lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my.
Lions and tigers and bears.
Oh, my.
Lions and tigers and bears.
Why did we play that for an opener? Good morning. It's 1 minute after the hour, 7 a.m. Central Time. And it's May 30th. That means we got one more day left in the month, because there are 31 days in May, for those of you who have forgotten. We learned that way back in school, didn't we? Now, why did we play the Lions and Tigers and Bears? You know, we always play that whenever I see a story out here that purports to create news and not be responsible journalism. Now, I will say this, you know, understand my background first off, and how I'm using this as doing comparative analysis with the news you hear on mainstream media versus what you hear in the alternative media in the back channels. And there are people out there that actually want to create news, because it's like we're in a virtual ratings period, 24/7, 365. We need more listeners, so what do we got to do? Oh, let's tell everybody that New York City is going to suffer a nuclear attack tomorrow. Yeah, let's do that. Let's scare the hell out of everybody by sensationalizing the news. Well, somebody hinted that, you know, we have one of those. I saw this news headline, and you can see it if you have our email blast. And I'm looking at this nuclear warhead that has gone off, and there's the mushroom cloud on the, yeah. And it's on one of the back channels. And I looked in 20 different news sources to see who was reporting that if Biden sends F-16s to Ukraine, that Dmitry Medvedev, Putin ally, says that if we send F-16s to Ukraine, that they will launch a preemptive nuclear strike on the United States. Now, the back channel stories that I've been reading in the mainstream media, compared to mainstream media, because as a journalist, see, here's the thing. I was a member of the Radio and Television News Directors Association. You look at my bio. It's on their powerhour.com under About, your host. And you can see my bio. And I was a member of Radio and Television News Directors Association. Understand that we have a responsibility to report as unbiased and accurate as we can. That's what mainstream media and everybody else is responsible to do. Unfortunately, ever since 9/11, all of these podcasts have just come out of everywhere, every nook and cranny, and they have a tendency to want to input their own opinion, and we have to be a little bit more discerning as to whether or not that is the right narrative or it's not. And you have to judge, because the headline reads, Medvedev guarantees Russia will nuke America if Biden deploys F-16s. And I looked and looked and looked for every possible news link aligned with this headline, and I couldn't find one. What I found was that if they gave Ukraine nukes, Medvedev said, that a nuclear strike is possible. If Ukraine gets nukes, there was no mention about F-16s being deployed and that that would cause Russia to nuke America. So why then is one particular news source reporting that this is so? Why did they change the narrative? Was it to get more people to watch their channel? I mean, here's the thing. If you're going to tell people that New York City is going to blow up tomorrow and you're going to use scare tactics like that, you know, that's not responsible journalism. But see, these people, these podcasters, they're not journalists. They're not card-carrying journalists. I am a card-carrying journalist. I have licensed news credentials from an actual FCC-licensed radio station, okay? Let's get that right out of the gate here. I have a responsibility not to create news or put out news that is sensationalized. But this is one of the reasons why when I see stuff like this, garbage reporting like this put out, it's because they want to sell something. You know, I mean, wouldn't you want to buy from a trusted source? I mean, you know, this is why we have the Power Mall. I mean, why would you want to buy from somebody other than a trusted source? I mean, now Kohl's is the new target. They put out onesies, pride wear for infants. Yeah, here, let's get your kids started early. You know, we have onesie bathing suits for infants and onesie pride suits with rainbows on them. And now Kohl's has become a target. You see, now, if you're going to get your facts down, and see, now they're saying now Target, the vice president, apparently, of Target stores, they've taken a $90 billion hit so far because of them coming out with this pride garbage. So this whole thing has started now in the retail market. So it's reared its ugly head. Everybody knows it. Now we have to basically think logically about why this is so. That's right. So, you know, with the fact that we've got this sensationalism going on, and it's not mainstream media that's sensationalizing it, because I figured the first thing that mainstream media would do if they had an inkling of what responsible journalism actually is, they would try to tell at least some of the truth, but we know that they can't do that. They're not capable of it. Even Fox has been caught in all the back channels, and even the people investigating Fox are now saying that they're woke. Well, didn't we suspect that? A lot of us are not watching Fox. When Tucker left, everybody left, you know, right? No, not quite. A majority of their viewers that were Tucker favorites left when he took off. And because of the fact that they didn't even like us getting that close to the narrative is a problem. When you get close to the real narrative and you get close to the real truth, you start having this understanding. No, you're not crazy. I didn't just make the crazy sign. That's the crazy sign. For those of you watching me and streaming live, understand that the way that this is, it's relative as far as news reporting about being responsible and not putting headlines that are there designed to scare and to get people to read your website. Well, if he said it, it must be true. Well, that's the way it is. That's the way the cookie crumbles. You know, Walter Cronkite was just talking about that with our board op before we went on. And see, the thing is that, you know, when he reported that the president of the United States is dead. Remember that when Kennedy got shot? And see, the thing is that he was reporting what appeared to be valid news. Now, how do we know? Because, see, they don't even want to release all of the grassy knoll videos and all the other stuff that's going on here. They, you know, other people were taking videos of the assassination. They got videos of this stuff, yet they don't want to release them. Why? Because the truth would come out then and people would know. They could point a finger at who the actual perps were. Oh, we can't have that. We can't have the American people knowing what the truth is. Oh, my God, the whole place would implode if people knew what the truth was. You see, but Cronkite and others, Huntley, Brinkley, I'm David Brinkley, you know, all of that, they were doing, and see, I'm not, you know, I was watching this stuff as a kid. I was fascinated by journalism back then. And we would watch television. My parents would have that TV turned on like crazy because they thought this was responsible journalism. And what was the journalism doing? It was shaping the mentality of Americans. They would watch it, hear it, digest it, and formulate an opinion because of it. I swear to God, every single day that I talk about stuff, it's to get you to critically think outside the box because you just don't know these days what's true and what isn't true. I mean, literally, we have a New York-based attorney And I told you this. I warned you this would happen. Here's a New York-based attorney using OpenAI's ChatGPT to write a legal brief he submitted to the court. And the problem is that the AI chatbot filled the brief with citations to fictitious cases. Did I not tell you that? This is a symptom of AI chatbots called hallucinating. And in an affidavit, the lawyer claimed, "I was unaware of the possibility that ChatGPT's content could be false." And here's law firms using ChatGPT to write briefs that turn out to be false. And this is entering our legal system. I told you this was going to happen. People are going to get in trouble. And now this New York attorney, Stephen Schwartz, is facing sanctions. And I mean real serious sanctions. Judges don't like it because, you see, judges have law clerks. And these law clerks are tasked with looking through the pleadings, examining the briefs, and formulating an opinion for the judge to look at. It's called a ruling, for those of you who don't know. So, you know, here's the thing. When it comes to responsible journalism, it's just like the court system. You don't know whether ChatGPT or AI or whatever the case, you don't know if it isn't substituting headlines on your back channel, even alternative media, whatever the case may be. You don't know whether or not it is promulgating something that is false to start stuff. You can substitute the word stuff with the caca word, because that's exactly what's going on here. Because we're so tied up in Ukraine, Russia even yesterday issued an arrest warrant for U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham in the wake of his strong comments about the war in Ukraine, with the South Carolina Republican vowing to wear it as a badge of honor. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think, Senator Graham, you need to be looking over your shoulder. Graham said, "Russians are dying," and described the American military assistance to Ukraine as the best money we've ever spent. Fighting a proxy war? You see, what's next in the news headlines if we're not being responsible here? I mean, see, leadership by example, right? That's what everybody would love to see in Washington. We don't have that. Come on. You know we don't have leadership by example. And see, if they're not leading by example and the media is following every single thing they do and writing down every jot and tittle that comes out of their mouth, how do we know we're not being politically manipulated? We don't. This is a problem, folks. This is where we need to put on mission critical thinking cap and analyze whether or not half the crap we hear on the news today is even real, or whether or not they're exaggerating, sensationalizing, or making stuff up. And people have to do their homework. You got to do the research. I looked at over 20 news sources when I saw this headline about Medvedev guarantees Russia will nuke America if Biden deploys F-16s. Even the mainstream media is not reporting that. So who's responsible here? The ones putting it out to try to get more viewers? I mean, this is a podcast, folks. You see, and all this started up after 9/11 when people started becoming cynical, when our Patriot Act came out. The USA Patriot Act took away a bunch of rights. How many people know that? It's opened up the FISA courts to abuse. We all know or suspect it. So, you know, this is the thing. 22,000 children sexually abused by Illinois Catholic clergy, according to a report. This is the Illinois office of the AG releasing a report on the Catholic clergy engaging in child sex abuse. 2,000 kids have been abused by the clergy in the state of Illinois. All right. There was a 696-page report. Anybody want to go find it? That's how you find out, because here's the attorney general making allegations that 2,000 children have been sexually abused. Why that number? How do we know there isn't more? Is that what they've been able to determine based on their investigation? Because it says in the news report, its investigation found nearly 2,000 children have been abused. There could be more. There could be 10,000. You just don't know. Hey, can you help an old altar buy out fodder? Yeah, you don't know. You don't know. You can look at the 696-page report. I'm sure it's online. Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul. They may never be held accountable in court, he said, but naming him is meant to provide a public accountability and measure to healing survivors who've long suffered in silence. Oh, provide a public accountability. Listen to what the man said. Listen to what the man said. Yeah, Illinois Attorney General, and he puts names. He names names. Why? To shame them publicly. That is called demonization. How do we know that the clergy doesn't have Russian hands and Roman fingers? How do we know that? Catholics might be, oh my goodness, that doesn't bode well for us. I mean, the clergy, they took an oath of celibacy, didn't they? Yeah, well, not when it comes to kids. You see, then everybody, what is that? When you read the report, all of a sudden now, it's like you look at every single priest in the Catholic faith and think, gee, I wonder if they molested a kid before. That's the first thing that pops into your head because you formulated an opinion based on that news story, okay? So you read the report, and they name names, and they shame all these clergy, okay? You know, but it says they never may be held accountable in court. Oh, well, if that's not the case, then why did he have to name names? Why did he even have to bother investigating? Because somebody complained. To me, all of this stuff is an attack on the Catholic Church. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's true. Maybe there are people out there that have actually been molested by a priest that are going, ah, they got their just desserts. Shame, shame, shame. Remember that? You know, they made Cersei walk down naked and people threw tomatoes at her while the nun, you know, waved a bell and went, shame, shame. Remember that in Game of Thrones? Yeah, probably didn't watch that, right? Let's publicly humiliate them and maybe this will go away. No, really? Half of Congress is probably involved in this. Of course, now you can formulate an opinion, but based on ye shall know them by their fruits. What are you thinking? After a months-long standoff, Speaker of the House McCarthy and Biden have reached a final deal to raise the debt ceiling, now headed to Congress. Full text of the bill was released on May 28th, which we have a copy of in PDF form. For those of you who want to go on our website, download the newsletter link on thepowerhour.com and read it. And apparently there's an opinion included in this that says it would appear Kevin McCarthy somehow did worse than doing nothing at all on the debt ceiling. So you see, everything has its critics, right? DeSantis, when he got out, you know, Trump held his little Memorial Day speech. DeSantis did the same thing, warning about the U.S. Navy, about, you know, because he was in there, needing to improve morale in the U.S. military as left-wing policies have taken hold. The governor, by the way, joined the Navy in 2004 before being stationed in Iraq and Guantanamo and being discharged in 2010, but he served in the Navy Reserve until 2019. Did Trump serve? No. So we have somebody that's on the front lines talking about the fact that, look, using a transgender naval serviceman to promote enlisting in the Navy, like, what have these got? What's the hope? What is the hope of enlisting in the Navy? You know, and I know you're all thinking about the in the Navy, you know, the village people and all that. You know, that was big back in wartime, you know, just like God Bless the USA by Lee Greenwood. And everybody was standing around waving their flags, being all patriotic, while what looked like weapons of mass destruction, not destruction, was being promulgated on the American people. So, yeah, we've had a lot to do with putting up with propaganda, false narratives, and then we had COVID. Oh, my goodness. And now the CDC is reporting that a majority of the people that contracted COVID, even within the CDC, were those that were vaccinated. I told you. See, the whole idea is we have a responsibility to get the information out there. And I don't just read this stuff believing verbatim that every bit of it is true. You can't. I am trying desperately as a card-carrying journalist to be as unbiased and unprejudiced as possible. But when you've got a uniparty staring you in the face, doing everything in its power in what appears to be the destruction of America, you're shaking your head going, Dave, man, this is really serious. Well, it is serious. And then you got people out there saying that if F-16s are sent to Ukraine, we're going to get nuked. Yeah, make sure you buy your Nuke Protect. Got to have Nuke Protect. Where's my Nuke Protect? I need my Nuke Protect. Where is it? I know it's in here somewhere. See, you can't, you know, having Nuke Protect for a reason. We told you about that. Why you should have Nuke Protect in your arsenal of goodies. Why you might be taking it on a regular basis. We told you about that. I take it twice a week. We've had Justin Porter from North American Urban Spice on. He has even said he takes it every day because it has ingredients in there that are helpful to the human system. We have it at the Power Mall. And we also have the Joyce Riley coffee mug here too. Knowledge is power. There's the Constitution. Some people wonder if it's even still there. There's the Power Hour logo right there. See, we're here to tell the truth. $100 donation minimum will get you one of these. We appreciate you doing that. So you can have coffee with Joyce in the morning. So these are the things that, you know, most important to talk about. I also mentioned yesterday that I was going to talk about declaratory relief actions because we had a caller that was talking about, you know, lawsuits being effective, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There is a discretionary procedure that is being used in the court system, which attorney Al West and I have done a video on, which is available on the cloudedtitles.com website. It's called the C&E on steroids, cancellation and expungement action. I got a call from Al West in California who just told me that I just got rid of two deeds of trust out of a guy's chain of title, a first and a second mortgage. There is no more lien on his property. I got rid of the liens. Did you understand what I just said? A lot of that was based on the bank's attorney standing on the opposite side of the aisle in court against Al West and said, Your Honor, they just want a free house. You see, this is the only argument they have in the foreclosure world. But see, the truth will out. And when you file a declaratory relief action, you are asking the court, without coming to a final conclusion and issuing a ruling in your favor on some point of order, a final outcome. When you don't ask for a final outcome of a case, but you ask the court to determine if something is so, that is called a declaratory relief action. Now, I'm speaking as a paralegal, not an attorney, all right? So understand, this is in my humble opinion, but I can get attorneys on here to speak to that, and they will say, Dave, everything you've said is true. Why? Because I helped write the book on it. That's how I know, because I've spent so much time with an attorney going over this stuff, it gets ingrained in your head. And see, a lot of people are saying, you know, there's a hypothetical way to shut down the entire justice system in this country if everyone filed a declaratory relief action asking a court to determine if something was so. Imagine that, having billions of lawsuits filed singly trying to determine certain things, and the entire court system would be jammed up to the point where it would go into overdrive. It's already being taxed with the foreclosure situation on the uptick. You know, they say we keep hearing reports from Adam Data that the foreclosures aren't necessarily crazy like they were in 2009 through 2013. But here's the thing. We've learned how to make use of the declaratory relief action to ask the courts. I mean, where do we get that from? Insurance companies. Insurance companies are the ones that started filing declaratory relief actions in court to get the court to determine whether or not the insurance company was liable under the contract to pay or cover a disaster or a claim. Insurance companies started all this. How do I know it? Well, because we researched it. We went through as many court cases as we could find of plaintiffs who have filed declaratory relief actions, asking the court to determine if something was so, and this is what they came up with. And the insurance companies, the results of these studies we did, showed the insurance companies are the ones that make the most use of DEC relief actions because they want the court to declare, which is why they call it declaratory relief. Some people say declaratory relief. It's declaratory relief. They want to know whether the court agrees with them that something is so, that their claim is so. we have certain situations now where we have plaintiffs are saying, look, my house was sold. Who got paid? And certain cases are being filed in the courts now in declaratory relief, asking the court to determine whether the borrower whose house was sold was still on the hook for the note. Who got paid? We want to know who got paid, Your Honor. We're not asking you to rule that they're bad boys, that we need to give the house back, or that we want money damages. No, we're only asking the court to determine who got paid and whether they're the proper party, whether I'm on the hook for a debt. That's what we're asking the court to determine. What a novel idea. You see, now, if everybody started filing debt relief actions, of course, they would say, Krieger, you're a barrier. You're out of line here. You're telling everybody to slam the courts with, we're already overtaxed and overburdened, and we've already had to cut back because we don't have the funds, and now you want everybody to file hundreds of thousands of lawsuits to tie up the courts into knots. So what? Our country already is moving at a snail's pace toward total destruction if we stay on the path that everybody thinks we're on. We have a bioweapons expert, Francis Boyle, who has been on the show before, and researcher James Roguski. He does a lot of research. They're looking into this pandemic treaty and the IHR amendments. Okay? This is, when you're talking about international health regulations, that's what this is all about. And see, if they're allowed to implement this in America, that means that the WHO, World Health Organization, can literally mandate whether or not we are to take global vaccines, whether they're good for us or whether they are bioweapons. And they'll make you take them no matter what. Well, that's a problem. That's a real problem. Because a lot of you, and see, we now have parents out there because of what's happened with the jab and all the stories they're hearing, is that this thing isn't cracked up to what it is. As a matter of fact, parents are going, you know what? I don't think I want my kid vaccinated for COVID before attending school. Wow. Imagine that. You know, it's all part of the bigger picture of trying to destroy the most productive country in the world. Wow. 10% off OptiVita products this week, by the way, and make sure you check out the daily deal on thepowermall.com. That opens up in about a half an hour for those of you who want to actually talk to somebody at 877-817-9829. We're going to, at some point in time in the very near future, be giving away another Rick Satellite system. Great way to listen to the Power Hour radio show. And you can do that, just, you know, win, be one of those recipients by sending us a letter at support@thepowerhour.com or by snail mail to P.O. Box 14921, Springfield, Missouri, 65814. And we have that one is by a donation from a longtime listener, which we thank profusely. So we have two we'll be giving away, one by Rick himself at ricksatelliteusa.com. Hopefully we're going to be joined by Ingrid Scott, Dr. Ingrid Scott, talking about abortion pill in the Fifth Circuit ruling after these messages. Stay with us.
iComplex CS is a comprehensive natural medicine formula to nourish and heal eye tissue formulated by a board-certified MD ophthalmologist, Dr. Robert Abel. Why you need vitamins for your eyesight? There is a direct and proven physiological connection between the nutrients we put into our body and the quality of our eyesight. Some vitamins for eyesight can be absorbed from the food we eat, but other vital nutrients cannot, especially if you're not eating a daily, nutritionally balanced diet. Additional supplements are essential for optimal eye health as well as your overall physical health. With 23 vitamins and nutrients such as N-acetylcysteine, which is important for removing toxic substances from the liver, this, the most complete clinical strength eye and total body multivitamin available in one supplement. Call the Power Mall at 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Listen, one of the things that was not mentioned was the Oregadent. That's for when you brush your teeth. You just take it and put your toothpaste on your toothbrush and just take a couple drops of Oregadent and put that on your toothbrush and brush your teeth. And I'm telling you, that stuff, once I brush my teeth, I don't want to eat anything for a while. Anyway, it's wonderful. So I use it a couple times a day, and your teeth really do feel so fresh. It's going to help a lot the next time I go to the dentist. So I really appreciate you giving me the heads up about that one.
Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Minutes after the hour of 7 a.m. Central Time here on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. Tuesday, May 30th, 2023. And, it's been in the news. There have been numerous court decisions of late and legislation being passed to try to determine what is the proper time to terminate a pregnancy, whether they'll allow it at all. I mean, that's just one of the many lawsuits that's going on right now that is trying to force, you know, this country to get on the right track, because a lot of people feel like we've lost our moral compass. And of course, with the help of Biden, the Food and Drug Administration permanently removed restrictions on chemical abortion pills. However, some experts like we have on our show here, OBGYN Dr. Ingrid Scott, believes this poses a danger to women that take them. Now, if you don't understand, men can't have a DNC. Now, for those of you who don't know what DNC is, I went to medical school as well. That's dilatation and curettage. That basically means they suck excess tissue that is left over after delivery or an abortion, because if there's remaining tissue up in your uterus, ladies, or your cervical area, and they have to take it out, that's where they have to go up there and literally suck it out with a vacuum, all right? Understand how that works. It's very similar to an abortion, but the thing is it's a medical procedure that is necessary so you don't suffer from infection, which could lead to sepsis. Now, rather than listen to me talk about that stuff, you know, I'd rather bring on Dr. Ingrid Scott. She's Vice President, Director of Medical Affairs for the Charlotte Lozier Institute, with more than 25 years experience as a practicing OBGYN. Good morning, Dr. Scopp. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you for having me on.
Did I hit that nail on the head as far as what a DNC is and my clinical analysis of it, or do you want to expound on that?
No, I think that was accurate. There is a movement underway to try to conflate the procedure with the intent of the procedure. A DNC done for gynecologic purposes or for a miscarriage is removing the tissue that has died. Has the intent of ending the unborn human life, even though the procedure is the same, obviously the intent and the emotional ramifications for a woman are quite different.
So I think one of the things that you were more concerned with here is this regimen that's approved by the FDA. And I know you've had conversations with the Daily Signal about this, which is a offshoot of the Heritage Foundation, which is an offshoot of the Tavistock Institute. Everybody's going to trace their roots back to who's putting out this information. And we're back to the fact that we have now a two-pill scenario here, which could be dangerous. I'll let you explain it.
Yeah, thank you. So the chemical or medical abortion regimen that's approved by the FDA is two drugs. Mifepristone blocks the hormone progesterone. It cuts off the support for the embryo and causes his death. It's followed in about 24 hours by misoprostol that essentially induces labor to expel the pregnancy tissue. And what we see over time is that, well, for one thing, the FDA approved this drug regimen, breaking its own rules in order to do so. They defined pregnancy as a life-threatening condition treatment. And of course, it's not. It's a life-giving condition. And surgical abortions were widely available in 2000 when it was approved. They never studied it in pediatric populations. Like you mentioned earlier, they have progressively loosened the restrictions that governed its use so that right now a woman can order it over the internet. She can have it delivered to her mailbox without any medical supervision at all, without an ultrasound to rule out a potentially deadly ectopic pregnancy, without labs to promote interventions that may prevent future pregnancy complications. And unfortunately, there's not even a guarantee that the person ordering the abortion pills is a woman who wants an abortion. It could be a sex trafficker, incestuous abuser, coercive boyfriend. So that's what's at the heart of this lawsuit that you mentioned, is that the FDA is not doing its job. We know that about 1 out of 20 women who take these chemical abortion pills will suffer a complication so that she will need surgery in an emergent situation, or she'll show up to an emergency room within a month because of these complications.
Well, the bigger problem, though, is that if there is tissue that is decaying up there, and I think all the ladies know what I'm talking about, this stuff literally could lead to an infection, which would then lead to sepsis. I mean, once this stuff gets in the blood, it's a problem, right?
Absolutely. I mean, this dead tissue, it can create scar tissue for future pregnancy complications. The mifepristone, the first medication, has a black box warning by the FDA. That means they know that this can be dangerous. And this warning is about an unusual form of sepsis that has killed women. It can be rapidly progressive, and it can present in an unusual way without a high fever, without significant pain, without an elevated white count. And so doctors need to be aware that this can happen and that they need to be on high alert when a woman presents to the emergency room with a complication from chemical abortion. But you know what? Abortion providers are telling women they don't even have to tell the doctors if they come into the emergency room, that they can't tell the difference between that and a miscarriage.
Wow. All right. So you've recently written a paper on medical indications for separating a mother and her unborn child, which examines serious pregnancy complications. I'm sure that what you just mentioned was included in that and more.
Yeah, this is to address the dangerous misinformation that has circulated in the wake of the Dobbs decision that overturned Roe v. Wade, that in states that have implemented restrictions to protect unborn life, the doctors are being told that they can't always intervene to save a woman's life. And this, of course, is untrue. If you read the laws, you see that every single pro-life law allows that intervention. And yet, doctors are confused. They're reading the newspaper instead of the law. And unfortunately, in many cases, the organizations, the medical organizations, the hospital organizations that typically will help doctors understand a new law, they have remained silent in many cases. And I think this is ideological. I think that there is a movement underway to turn the American public against pro-life laws by lying to them and saying that these are going to hurt women.
Well, and there's been a lawsuit filed in the Northern District of Texas. I was just looking through your affidavit that you filed. It's Exhibit 8, Document 1, Attachment 9, Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine versus the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. The crux of the suit asks, is this a, from what I understand, this is a declaratory relief action, is it not?
Well, you know, I don't understand all the legal as well, but I certainly understand the medicine. And the heart of this case is who supervises the FDA, who supervises our governmental organizations when they go off the rails and promote ideology and politics over the safety of these drugs for women. The abortion industry, well, one thing that people should understand is that there is no mandatory complication reporting on abortion in our country. And so many, many of these complications are never detected. And in fact, one study demonstrated that 60% of the time when I'm to an emergency room, it's miscoded as a miscarriage because, again, they're not telling the doctors. But we know that, you know, again, about 5 to as many as 8% of women do have a significant complication after these drugs. And the FDA just has you know, continue to say safe and effective, safe and effective. Well, what does that mean? I mean, 1 out of 20 requiring surgery is not particularly safe. And when they talk about effective, they're not talking about the effectiveness of extruding all that dead tissue that we talked about. They're only talking about the effectiveness of killing that embryo or fetus. Of course, a woman would consider effective when the procedure is done.
Now, you've delivered a lot of. Yeah, you've delivered over 5,000 babies, so you would know. I've only delivered one because we were in an emergency situation, and she was a classic textbook delivery. It was my fourth one, so it came. She came quick. You know, I just put the catcher's mitt on, went, gave him the sign, and out she came. So anyway, no, you've done a lot more and been a lot more involved in this, but it would seem like this Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine lawsuit is asking the court to determine as far as whether or not the FDA actually acted properly in putting this out. Is that kind of the crux of what's going on here?
That is exactly what the lawsuit is attempting to do. Judge Kaczmarek and the Amarillo court agreed with us, with the plaintiffs, and said, yes, this drug should have never been approved. There was no reason for it to be approved the way that it was. The Fifth Circuit said it's okay that it was approved, but it should go back to the initial conditions, which were strict safeguards. Provided by a doctor, mandatory complication reporting up to only 7 weeks, because the further along in a pregnancy it's used, obviously the more tissue, the harder it is to have a complete abortion. It went to the Supreme Court. It's gone back to the Fifth Circuit. I'm optimistic. I think ultimately it will go back to the Supreme Court. And when it does, and they have an opportunity to see all the evidence, that they'll recognize that the way it's being given out right now without any medical supervision is totally inappropriate and is not the way these drugs should be handled.
Okay, now that, folks, is a classic example, and I'm not giving you legal advice. I'm just asserting, based on my paralegal research, based on what I worked, my work with attorneys, this is what you call a classic declaratory relief issue, because they're asking the court to determine if something is so, and they're positing conditions and evidence to that effect. So, I mean, who would know better? This is one of the reasons why Dr. Ingrid Scott, who is an OBGYN, has actually been asked and submitted an affidavit of 9 pages with her medical opinion. Okay, so we have expert testimony at both state and federal levels. You really have been actively involved in this case.
I have. You know, as I'm an obstetrician in Texas, and as you know, we now have laws that protect unborn life. And yet I am, and of course, I've never done an elective abortion like 90% of obstetricians. I care for both of my patients, but I have cared for many women in the setting of an emergency. You know, they're told that these drugs are safer than Tylenol. So when they have a complication, they don't go back to the abortion provider who lied to them and told them this was so safe that they would not have a complication. So I've been on the receiving end caring for these women in their emotional and physical distress when they've had complications.
So the thing is that now, I have to get into the pro-life, pro-abortion thing because they have made it, and I'm talking about they meaning the other side of what I consider to be right thinking. And, you know, we all want to be pro-life because that's what's in the Constitution, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, or life, liberty, and property, depending on which legal interpretation. It says nothing about abortion. It says pro-life. You are entitled to that. A lot of people stick to it. They're at least the right thinking ones. Has this become a serious issue for you in your practice, pro-life versus pro-abortion?
Well, you know, again, I've always prioritized the life, but it is problematic. It has been perceived to be such a political issue that even obstetricians who speak out like I do and say, you know what, I'm advocating for both of my patients, there is quite a bit of pushback. It is very difficult. Like I say, most people assume that obstetricians perform abortions, but the reality is the organization that performs the abortions in our country has publicized itself well, and so most women do not go to their doctor requesting an abortion. And so obstetricians many times keep their heads down and don't talk about this issue, but it is an issue in which we should engage because we know more than anyone else what that unborn life is. It's a human being, and we need to start having a discussion on this issue as a human rights issue. 97% of the abortions in our country are for social and financial reasons. So we need to begin discussing this as, is it appropriate to take a human life for reasons such as those?
Well, now you've served as a board member and medical director for pregnancy resource centers in San Antonio, Austin, and Houston. Have you had any boots on the ground blowback as a result of what you did there?
Yes. There is resistance to doctors who want to speak out on a pro-life position. But you know what? I don't regret it, and I think everything that I've done is for the benefit of women. I've seen so many women who've been harmed, sometimes physically, almost always emotionally, mental health complications after abortion. It's been shown that two-thirds of women who obtain abortions say that it is inconsistent with their values. So these are women who would not obtain an abortion except they find themselves in a crisis, and in that rapid, you know, knee-jerk reflex to the crisis, they obtain an abortion, but they have the rest of their life to regret that. High-quality studies from European countries demonstrate that a woman is six times as likely to commit suicide in the year following an abortion than if she had carried that baby to term. So we know it's hurting women, and that's why I do what I do.
Wow. See, that brings up a whole nother question here because of what you just said, is a lot of this, and the thing is about, and I don't know, this is why I'm asking you, because you're a doctor and you understand this stuff. And I'm sure that a lot of our listeners are going, wow, what about postpartum depression? Does that also, or can that also occur post-abortion?
Oh, it absolutely can. I mean, these crisis pregnancy centers, it's very practically everyone has a post-abortion recovery program and counseling because so many women suffer from having made that decision. And of course, you know, there are resources available, material, emotional, financial, but they don't know. And especially in the wake of what the FDA has done, they order these pills over the internet. You think they're seeing any other alternative? So, you know, we're just trying to meet women in their crisis and let them know there's other people, there's other options available that can help them so that they don't have to end the life of their child.
Well, the other thing that bugs me, though, Dr. Scopp, is that we've got the government and the internet and everybody when these women go online and order this package of stuff, mifepristone and the other pill, misoprostol.
Misoprostol.
Mm-hmm. Prostol, yeah. When they order these two drugs, they know who the person is that ordered it, how they paid for it. They've got all that recorded information off the internet, which could literally be shared with the government unknowingly of the person that's ordering the stuff. So the government actually knows who this woman is that ordered it. They don't know the why yet, but down the road, they're going to, at some point, because of the Medical Information Bureau, find out exactly what happened, whether or not insurance paid for it, whether or not they paid for it out of pocket. I mean, somebody's going to report that something happened. Would that be a fair statement?
You know, this information could be detected if there were a desire to detect it. I think right now we all recognize that our federal government has no desire to know any information. It only desires to promote abortion as quickly as possible in every circumstance, which is a eugenic action. Most of the women who obtain abortions are impoverished and often minority populations. But, you know, it's the promotion of the death of the unborn over the health and safety of women. But you're right. If they desired, they could find out this information. But right now, they're allowing these pills to be mailed into the states that have laws protecting unborn life. Again, Texas, they're all over the place in Texas, even though it's against the law. And the Comstock Act is a law that's been a federal law that's been in place for years that should prevent the mailing of abortion drugs. And yet our federal government has no desire to enforce the law regarding this right now.
Well, what gets me is these are actual, what I would consider prescription grade drugs that normally a woman would have to go to a doctor under any other circumstances. They'd have to go to a doctor, have a conference, pay an office visit fee. The doctor would sit down, analyze with the client, with their patient, exactly what's going on and why they want these drugs. And the doctor then would be in a position to recommend it. And this has completely removed anything having to do with the Hippocratic Oath, because now the doctor basically bears no responsibility. It's all like an after the fact. Wait a minute, you took the stuff? Oh my God, how do we treat it? You know, see, now you went online and you did this, and this just complicates things for your profession, does it not?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're seeing these women in the emergency room very frequently. And I would point out that the complications are four times as high after a chemical abortion than after a surgical abortion. So, you know, there is a safer way for women to get abortions. But, you know, the reality, like I was saying, that a lot of obstetricians don't want to perform abortions, the reason that they have pivoted toward chemical abortion in the industry is they can't even staff their clinics. There aren't even doctors willing to do these surgical abortions in many cases. And so this is a way to get abortions out. Again, they don't really care about the repercussions for the women who suffer as long as that child dies. So that's the situation we're in right now, and it's very dangerous for women. Why don't you hear women talking about it? I've, you know, discussed this with many of the patients I've cared for. They're ashamed. And in many cases, they say, Dr. Scott, I think this is what I deserved for making the choice that I did. So they just want it to be over with, but they suffer. Sometimes they bleed for months before they seek help. And like we discussed earlier, they're bleeding for months because they've got dead tissue in there that could turn into sepsis, that could turn into scar tissue to complicate future pregnancies. And that's what our FDA is allowing to happen right now for ideologic reasons.
Wow. So I guess I've got a couple minutes left. I want to get into one other minor detail. Since you are an OBGYN, have you had complications with women? Because we just put out a report not too long ago here on this show that women who were getting the COVID-19 vaccine have bleeding problems, even postmenopausal bleeding problems. Have you seen this?
I have seen it. I've heard patients talk about it. And in fact, a peer-reviewed study has proven that it does happen. So absolutely, that is, you know, I think, I mean, obviously that's a whole nother topic, but the COVID-19 vaccines came out and became utilized without really any long-term data. And so it's going to be up to us to try to, you know, look back in retrospect and discover what happened. How do these drugs cause menstrual issues? But yes, it definitely has been proven to happen.
Well, all right. I see. I had to ask that question because this COVID-19 thing, it keeps getting rubbed in our face. And even, you know, parents now, according to the news reports we've been getting in, don't want their kids getting vaccinated as a condition to go into school. So Dr. Ingrid Skop, MD, we appreciate that. And congratulations on the outcome of this lawsuit ahead of time. I have a feeling that the courts will do the right thing, because the Fifth Circuit looks at the facts, and this is one thing you have going in your favor. Appreciate your time and effort in being with us here on the Power Hour. We will be back with Frank Davis from OptiVita after these words. Stay with us.
Your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrex is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrex can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829.
Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.